It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. Great to be with you here as we get ready for Pirates and the Golden Hurricane today. We also have the Keith LeClair Classic going on in Greenville. Very excited about that. I'm bringing in my two great guys, my fellas, and that would be Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
What's going on, Dave?
What's up, Bubba Rosenbaum from China Grove?
Good morning, guys.
This is a big Sunday. By the way, folks, don't forget later we have extra innings. And this week will be, we'll pre-record it and then put it out tonight or first thing in the morning. So with all our schedules and everything. So we'll make sure that we get that out for you. We'll talk a little baseball this morning. Most of it will be, obviously, we'll save that for extra innings, right, Bubba, tonight?
Yeah, and our third edition of Extra Innings will be coming up tonight. As we'll take a look back at what's been a 2-2 week thus far. Hopefully we'll finish it off at 3-2 with a win today over Western Carolina.
I certainly am concerned, I will say, about the number of games this week, and maybe we'll see if that plays a factor. I don't know. We'll talk more about that. And the week that was tonight on the Extra Innings. Kyle, I know with a lot of good things going on, I was really excited to see we actually have another great addition, bringing Alex McKinney back, right? Alex Kenny?
Compliance officer. She was here previously up until, I think, 2015, and now she's back under the John Gilbert administration, so welcome back, Alex.
John Gilbert's done a fantastic job with all the people that he's hired, and a refreshing we've suffered through the last few years, and it's so great to see. I know we've said it, you started with back when he was hired, about how it doesn't take a lot to do more than what and just doing the right thing is very easy, and it's not really much, but it's more than what the folks did before. The 60-second with AD, the latest episode with Mike Houston was awesome. I think he's doing way more. And like you said, he's probably...
Oh, when did that come out? I haven't even seen that.
Came out a couple days ago, I want to say. Maybe 2 days ago. But
so is awesome. John talking to Mike Houston?
He is, yep.
Okay, I need to watch that.
He's asking him different questions. I won't give it away for folks that haven't seen it. You got to check it out. But
how did I miss that?
I don't know. I think I saw it on Twitter. I want to say it was on Thursday. It was towards the end of the week. The days are running together with... all that we all have going on, it seems like, with the podcast and our
normal lives. Bubba, you watch that?
Which one's that again?
Gilbert's talking seconds. To Houston.
I have not seen that yet. That's what I saw where it was tweeted out, like Dave said, and I meant to go back and watch it and got busy and have not yet.
Okay. Well, that's your homework before we do extra innings. Maybe we can squeeze it in, but or the next podcast, but. It was really good, and you just got to give him credit because I don't know who – it may not be his idea, but he's been a good sport, and he's been – and the great thing about it, he's been in the forefront where we were told that maybe he would be more behind the scenes and not a rah-rah guy, but I think he's done a nice job.
Well, I don't know that he's a rah-rah guy, but what he's doing is – I think he's doing things he's comfortable with,
right,
to keep his face out there and being interactive – with the fans without being rah-rah, if that
right.
makes sense.
He's not
that's
trying
all
to be something
I want.
He's not.
I mean, yeah, that's all I want. Be yourself, be transparent, and be willing to communicate with the fan base.
And he's done a nice job as, by the way, I want to give a shout-out to, before I forget, we're talking basketball today on this podcast, a preview. Nicole Milling, nice job. They got a big win against Tulsa yesterday. I think it was 64-60. And get this, Kyle. We were talking about how we were worried after Chad Killinger, steps down. He was the interim coach. We had Heather Macy. She had stepped down before the season. And they get out to a 9-2 start. He leaves, and we're going, oh, gosh. And it hasn't been, obviously a whole bunch more wins. But they've done a nice job keeping the program together. Currently, they're 14-14. They have a big game against SMU coming up tomorrow night at Menjies. They had a nice win at SMU, a 10-point win back on Valentine's Day. They have a chance now to go 15-14 before the tournament. So please, as many, I can't be there, unfortunately, but if there's folks who can go, please go. and we love to have the Lady Pirates be 15-14. What a story!
Yeah,
hats
off to those girls for if they have a winning season with all they've been through. It really makes me wonder if Macy or the gentleman was here briefly that got us off to the 9-2 start.
Chad Hillinger,
yeah. If they would have stayed around, I mean, or Macy hadn't, you know, had to be terminated. If either one of them would have been here, what this team could have done. Not trying to disparage Nicole, but she's a very young, inexperienced coach. Obviously, you know, having a full staff and her being.
They put her in the fire. I mean, that's not fair to her.
This could have been an incredible season, and it's still taking it a winning season. It's a great story.
And you're looking at, there's a ton of coaches out there, something we've been behind the scenes looking at, but there's a ton of great coaches, Kyle, that can come in with this league. It's a great league for women's basketball, too. I mean, you can, the women's game, guys, I know y'all are a little bit younger, but I know it sounds ugly, but when I was a really small little kid, the women's game was very boring. I'll just be honest. And now I can actually watch a women's game over the last, I would say, 20 years. Wouldn't you say, Bubba, it's the game has actually really picked up as far as the excitement, the pace, and everything. And so I think you can get a good young coach in here or experience. There's different routes you can go. We'll talk about that in a later podcast. But certainly there's great coaches out there that we could get. And there's talent, obviously, there. They're winning when there's the season could have been a complete disaster. There's talent there. You get the right coach in, and who knows what could happen, especially if there's...
You know, I wonder if we get 15-14, if we were to go on a strong run in the tournament, let's say, make it to the championship game and lose to UConn, I wonder if we'd get a sniff at the WNIT.
I don't think
I
didn't
thought about that.
Reason being is because our league
record.
We would be 6-10 going into the tournament.
Okay. You'd have to be. You'd have to be more close
right
to 500, right, Bubba?
Yeah,
I would.
But a little bit more as far as that win over Tulsa, though. So you mentioned coming from behind. We're behind 8 points starting the fourth quarter, and then we outscored the Golden Hurricane 24-12 in the fourth quarter. And LaShonda Monk had 15 points and led 4 Pirates in double figures. And Raven Johnson had a double double with 14 points and 12 boards.
That's so Raven.
It is.
My heart's been going out to them. I'm glad they've been able to keep it together and keep it around. They 500. If they can even be, say, if they go 500 for the year, that would be tremendous considering all they've done. A winning season would be the cherry on top for sure.
Something else, ECU sports related, we need to bring up is the men's swimming and diving team up in Indianapolis at IUPUI.
IUPUI.
We have the American Athletic Conference championships, and we finished second in the men to the Cincinnati Bearcats. So,
yeah, very good. I tell you, the Matt Jabs, I was excited, very happy to have him on, and we need to have him back on for sure. All the spring sports guys have been doing very well. So how about the softball team, Bubba, with
you have softball. They are now 10-4, and they're 2-1 this weekend with a pair of wins over Columbia. On Friday, they beat them 11-0 in 5 innings, and then 6-2 yesterday, and then they did lose 5-0 to UMass. Today they're scheduled to play Winthrop at 11:30. And then, meanwhile, also someone we need to mention is the women's lacrosse team. They're off to a 4-1 start, and they host St. Francis today. I believe that's at noon.
National championship coming.
I'm telling you, they, Amanda, I think she wants to go by more her married name now, but, they actually, I just can't imagine that when we have her on the show, that's one thing we need to ask her, guys, is how do you start a program from scratch? I mean, she played at North Carolina, who has a tremendous program. Then she goes to Duke, assistant coach there. She comes here and doing a nice job of building this program from nothing. That's something that – and they're starting to – they took their lumps early on, but they're starting to – it looks like they're starting to turn the corner. What do you think, guys?
What conference do we play in for women's lacrosse? Is the American Ad Women's Lacrosse? Or Little
they
League.
Did. Yeah.
Okay, they with the American. All right.
Yeah. And down the road, I noticed our schedule. I know last year we had Oregon, and I'm trying to remember who else come to Johnson Stadium. This year we have Vanderbilt and Duke. I know Duke has a strong tradition. I'm not sure about Vanderbilt.
Hey, I got a question for both of you guys, and maybe I shouldn't ask this on the podcast because this is a false memory on my part, and I'm going to sound like a complete idiot. But in the late, or around 99-2000, around the time we got in Conference USA, all right, did our softball program get a single sports-only invitation to the ACC?
Yes, we did.
We did, yep.
And okay,
because back then you didn't. I think since you've had Duke and some of those teams in the ACC start okay. softball programs, but back then they did not have softball
yeah,
programs.
Yeah, and we did not accept it because we get in Conference USA in all sports. That would have been interesting had that would have happened. Now, I wonder how that would have affected the rest of our sports. I can imagine how passionate our fan base would have became about softball. Can you imagine?
Yeah,
we would. Just to compete for an ACC championship, our fan base would have probably packed that.
Oh my god!
That's it. Never happened.
That's when we had. That was when we had Tracy Key, right?
Yeah, it never happened. Great coach. Of course, it might the Conference USA, but I thought I remembered that.
Yeah, it was only for one season or two, but it was not very long.
Yeah, it was one or two seasons. I don't recall exactly, but I remember.
But we actually played in the ACC in softball.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I don't even remember. I thought the invite came, and then we got the All Sports Invite Conference USA, and never played softball in the ACC.
It was one of those things where we played a season or two, at least one season, in the ACC, and then like Bubba said, we got invited to Conference USA. So obviously, we had to in all sports. So we went that route, but. What could have been?
Okay. How was the attendance that one year?
We'd have to ask. I don't know. Unfortunately, okay. It probably was not as good as.
I bet you now it would be.
Oh yeah, I think with Courtney Oliver's doing a nice job, and they're speaking of turning the corner. I think that they've done a nice job of getting the program back up where it needs to be, and I think. Not to jinx them, but I think they have a shot at. Don't you guys think they have a shot at going to the regional this year? The way they've started, I mean, it looks so far so good.
I don't know anything. I don't know enough about NCAA softball on a national level to speak on that. But if you keep winning, absolutely.
I feel so far so good. You know, it's one of those things. You never know how a season's going to play out and all the injuries and all that kind of stuff. But it'll be interesting to see. As far as football, don't forget, folks, it's hard to believe. I know why Kyle's excited, because we're literally like 2 weeks away from spring football, so we're getting so close. I know you feel great about that, right, Kyle?
I'm looking forward to spring football more so this year than I have in a long time.
Yeah.
I'm planning on not even by May. I'm going to the spring game, which is something I never do. I just think the spring game is useless in terms of really evaluating anything because you're watching yourself play yourself. And anyway, I'm excited about spring ball to see, you know, how these guys react to this new coaching staff. And it's fun to think about where we're going to build here under Mike Houston, you know, and these coaches.
I think there's that video they had of, did you guys see that video? I'm playing that. Did you see, I guess, game today? But there was a video this morning before we started the podcast, before I was getting ready for the podcast. I saw a video of Mike Houston, like where you see the players like doing like a tug of war one-on-one with each other.
Yeah. And just some of the winter workouts. Yeah. I'd seen those on Twitter and those are things that it's awesome to see those being put out there.
I need to get on Twitter more.
Oh, my God. It just kept me – it was maybe 30 minutes before I called you guys, talked to you guys, and it just got me – I literally was half awake, and then when I watched that video, I about jumped out of – bed. I was like, that's what I'm talking about, because it literally – you can see that the guys are fired up, and I'm telling you, we've seen this movie before with the guys fired up. The guys are ready to win. They're hungry to win. Mike Houston can come in here and probably tell them to run through a brick wall, and they'll do it because they'll do any after what they've been through, the poor football team, they'll do anything right now to if that's what it takes to win. And having we're going to have on the spring, closer to spring practice, we'll have John Williams on. I know that for a fact. So I can't wait for Kyle and Bubba to come out there with me. Do you think we can they'll let us participate in spring practice? Like,
oh, yeah, we'll sorry. I was reading something.
Take one for the team.
I don't think anybody wants me doing anything athletic unless it's like a hot dog eating contest.
That would be awesome.
I don't want to. I know. Nobody wants. East Carolina does not want that. What's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the word. on the football field, working out, doing anything athletic. They don't need that liability. That's the word I'm looking for.
All right. Well, I tried anyway. I was hoping Kyle would take one for the team, but you'll be like our sacrificial lamb going up against John Spellacy or something. Maybe he could be on the D line, or where would you like to line up?
He better not have his cup on, because that's what I'm going for.
Oh.
He better have his cup on. I'll get it right in a minute. He better have his cup on. That's my only defense.
All right. So you're going to be a dirty player then.
Exactly.
But I'm excited about it. I usually don't get excited. I'm with you, Kyle. Diehard fan. But spring football has gotten to the point where I hate to use the term meaningless. That's a strong statement. But as far as
the spring football, the spring game is what you mean, yeah.
Right.
The spring game, at times, and look, it may be meaningless this year too, the spring game I'm referring to only. But it'll at least be fun. There'll be excitement in the air for the spring game.
Because you know that the good news is you know that in the past when we had the spring game, it's kind of like, let's just get through this. I know that sounds terrible, but under Montgomery, but now you feel like with Houston, we have a lot of bright spots. What, you know, the excitement, it's kind of like the buildup to the season.
Well, it's the first time you get to see any of the product, too. I mean, in terms of what we're going to look like in terms of formations, it's stuff like that. He's not going to go out there and show his full hand. But it's the first look at the, all right, this is what our offense is going to look like. This is what our defense is going to look like schematically.
And we're looking at now, by the way, I tell you the guy that I'm excited about the most right now coming in is I really like Mooney. I think Mooney could be, and that's your favorite position, Kyle. I think the running back, I just have a feeling, I don't know why. I have a really good feeling about Mooney.
I feel like we have some talented running backs already there.
I know. I'm saying, no, what I'm saying is not that we don't have talent. What I'm saying is the guys that are coming in, the freshmen that are coming in, I just think that he's one that really sticks, kind of sticks out with the it factor, and one that I think that could make a big difference early on. That's all I'm saying, not that we don't have talent, and thank God we've got him coming in. I'm just saying that
yeah.
I think
he's
a bright spot, and it shows what I'm getting at. It shows the recruiting of Mike Houston and his great staff. You get a talented kid like him coming in who could help me out, was it West Virginia that he was committed to and then decommitted?
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest with you, Dave. That sounds right. I'd have to go back.
It was a great team like that he decommitted to, and he's coming to East Carolina. And again, he's a North Carolina kid. Very happy about that from more of the Bubba area of the state, the western part of the state. And anyway, I'm excited about him. I don't know. I've just got a gut feeling every time. I know I'll give a shout out to our good friend Steven Igo on Hoist the Colors. He had a nice article. Want to give him credit too about meeting the different Pirates. They had one on him, and so if you get a chance, if you're not a member, shame on you. Join Hoist the Colors. It's a great hoistthecolors.net. It's a great website. You get a lot of great. Another thing is about basketball recruiting. Something that I was going to tell you guys. Normally on football recruiting, I really don't care, or basketball recruiting, but because of Mike Houston, I've been paying even closer attention now because of them. But anyway, I think that it's you and, by the way, Kyle, it's you and me on the show right now.
Yeah, I saw that. Bubba had to take the family to church. So we were recording this on Sunday morning, so he's gone. So it's just me and Dave for the rest of the podcast.
All right. But anyway, I was going to say that you and I normally don't care anything about recruiting. I know, so not. I don't. That's a strong word, but I'm paying.
You don't
more
follow
attention.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Not as closely as I'm now. I think having Dooley back. You have Houston here. Those two guys. I'm following closer now because it makes me excited to think what the program. I guess that's what it's all about. Is that you know the future is bright for basketball. Definitely football. I know people question basketball, but I really think that Dooley is going to turn it around. I really do. When you have a chance to have what he's had so far. And by the way, I want to mention to folks, Kyle, we had a chance to talk to Davis Searcy. I apologize, Davis. We had some technical difficulties with the interview. And we talked about, I wanted to mention this before we go to Kelly Hines. We talked to him about his vantage point, what he saw on Wednesday night at the what Dooley called the debacle. And he told us that literally Dooley called for a technical. The first one was over, I think it was either Isaac Fleming or he said Jaden Gardner, but one of the players, a foul that was not there. And as Dooley owned up, the first technical was on him. He went, you know, overboard, I guess, as some people would, and he went bananas, whatever word you want to use. They call a technical. Isaac Fleming, I don't understand that technical. They said he didn't give the ball to them quick enough, which is that's so ridiculous because think about this. If I don't know that this is one question I would ask the referees, or maybe we can find out how much time is it that you're are you supposed to give the ball to the ref in 2 seconds, 5 seconds, ten seconds?
Well, yeah, plus for something like that, when you tee that up after you've already thrown technicals, you're not de-escalating the situation and laying down the law. What you're doing is adding fuel to a fire.
Right.
And you're just making things even more tense. And you're making it about yourself now at this point. And
right.
And it's not. Your referee should be an afterthought. A good officiating crew isn't talked about. That's a good officiating
right.
crew. And these clowns were over the top, making it about themselves, teeing people up left and right. And, you know, it is what it is. It didn't make a difference in the outcome of the game in terms of wins and losses.
No.
But it did make a difference in the score. And with Searcy, wasn't there an issue with a whole bunch of students leaving at one time? Did that turn out to be about the towels?
Okay, so yes. What happened there is they were told with 8 minutes to go where they could. I thought it was where they were just leaving. What it is they were told, hey, here's your, you need to go such and such a place. If that's true, why would anybody doing that with 8 minutes to go in the game?
I'm assuming if it was a close game, then it would have been handled differently. They would have probably been done. It would have probably been done at the end of the game. I would suggest that the next time they're going to do that their idea was to keep the students there. And they probably, if it was a close game, they would have just done it as you were walking out. But here's a better way to handle that next time, ECU. Instead of trying to keep students there and 500 people having to go at one time, spread it out. Take about 100 to 50
a section,
at a time,
yeah.
and do it throughout the game and let everybody get their towels that way. If you're worried about them waving them around in the air or whatever,
that'd be great.
It depends on how big they are. Beach towels are pretty big.
Yeah.
Just do it all in the second half. I don't know that. There's a better way to do it than that, though.
Can you imagine? I'm just thinking. I didn't thought about this. Can you imagine with that that debacle, whatever you want to call it, in the early of the second half, if they'd given those towels and they throw all those towels on the court, like 500 towels? I guess you're throwing in the towel, right? But, sorry, that was pun intended. The pun was intended there, but anyway, Davis was great. He spent a few minutes with us, and I'm sorry that didn't work out, but it was great to have his vantage point because apparently what happened was the first guy that was tossed, the fan, he threw a water bottle, and that's unnecessary. I don't agree with that at all. You can't have that. That can hurt a whole bunch of people. that's not good, especially if you have a whole bunch. I mean, that thankfully, I think it was just one water bottle, but if you had a whole bunch of people throwing stuff, that would not be good. The other thing is, then the second guy that was tossed, he said, I think that dude was not even a Menzies maniac. I don't think the guy that threw the water bottle, one of them was not a Menzies maniac. So, and the second guy I think was, but he used bad language. The referee heard it, because he was, you know, obviously, and he tossed him. And again,
Wait. They tossed a guy throwing a water bottle. Okay, fine. They tossed another fan for yelling bad language at.
Yes.
Oh, that's you know what? It's appropriate. That's bullshit. As I just used bad language on purpose to prove a point. You know, that's ridiculous. That is, again, that's making it about them.
Right.
That's making it about them. It's not about you, referees. It's not about you. You're there to do a job. No one's there to see you, you clowns. They're there to see the basketball game.
Right.
You do your little job and get out of there. Don't make it about you. I mean, first of all, in my opinion, I don't think the referee should have any authority to remove a fan. That should be left up to the discretion of the university.
I agree with that. Thank you.
You bought that ticket. That ain't got nothing to do with you. The referees are in charge of what's going on the court. So they should have no authority to move a fan at all. They can tee up the team for the fans' actions if they want to, but they should have no, and maybe they didn't. Maybe they did. The
water bottle when they gave a technical for.
They should. That's fine. Now, when you say that the other fan was objected for bad language, did they? The referees didn't. Are you sure the referees objected? That doesn't make any sense.
Yes. They can.
The referees asked. Yeah. Well, they should have no authority to do that.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you how I know that's true. Is not in this particular case, but back in your favorite team, the Wolfpack, one of the officials. That was sarcasm. one of the officials back at PSC Arena when they had a ball game. NC State was playing a game a couple years ago, and Chris Corgiani and Tom Gugliotta were sitting close to the bench, and they were not happy with the way the officiating was going, and they're two of the biggest Wolfpack players of all time, and the referee kicked both of them out of the game.
No, I don't think that's right. And the referees better be careful doing that. The players and the coaches can't do anything, but you kick out the wrong redneck, and he's waiting for you out in that parking lot. You might have to answer to him.
That's
So, I'm just saying.
I can see that visual. Kyle's waiting for. I can't wait for that.
I wouldn't care enough. But But somebody would. There's somebody out there that would. You know. And then, God Almighty, the amount of cussing I've heard at football games.
Yeah.
Come out of my own mouth. I don't like that. That should be handled. How that should be handled is by security. If the referees want to tell security, hey, you guys need to go settle him down, and then leave it up to ECU and security discretion to kick him out.
And if you think about it, you've got a lot of great athletic officials that are right there at the scores table.
Yeah.
And what I would say, what they should do is the Ryan Robinsons, all the people that are sitting at that scores table, if they hear a fan, they need to have somebody go up to them and say, look, we're giving you a warning. It should be up to them saying – we're giving you a warning. Bad sportsmanship.
Yeah, and it should be excessive.
Right. Bad sportsmanship, and if you start to keep your mouth, you just need to cool it down. Don't talk anymore. You can stay at the game. If we hear you one more time, you're out of here.
Just tell them watch the language. I mean, that's Forrest keeps his mouth shut. Just watch the language. Just tell them, hey, yell, scream all you want. You need to edit the language a little bit, and it should be excessive. It shouldn't be one. This is BS. It should be several F-bombs. You got to watch your language.
Yeah. So that's unfortunate. And, again, I think, by the way, Danny Hurley had a great point that I wanted to bring up to you. I saved it for the – I've been waiting for a few days to save this to you for you. He had a great point. He said if a coach doesn't work out, you know, talking about wins and losses, you know, they get fired, right? Right. He said, if the players, if they don't play well, they first will lose, you know, obviously playing time, and who knows, they might not even own the team, which is essentially being fired. But the referees, they can be as bad as they want, and nothing ever happens. There's no, there's nothing you can do
about it.
So that's one thing that I would say to the American. We're trying really, this is my point that I wanted to make to the commissioner. We're trying really hard. Think about this. Just think about this. Okay. We're on ESPN. Of course, I don't think that ESPN 3 feed was working well, which is probably a good thing. It's a blessing in disguise for us. But we're trying really hard to separate ourselves from the group of five and to be this big-time league. And you've had like five coaches tossed this year. I think that's outrageous. I think that it shows that the referees need to, again, like you were saying, they need to manage the game. And when you let things get out of hand, you can't bring it back. You don't want ticky-tack fouls, but at the same time, you set a precedent at the beginning of the game. It's kind of like with football. If you let things get out of hand, things can get really even worse with football, with a whole more players and coaches and fans. It can escalate.
Well, so I think bad officiating is across the board right now in all sports. I think it's become a problem. Jim Ross, I'm a big fan of his.
Oh yeah,
I love his, and I listen to his podcast every so often. And he talked, you know, Jim Ross is not just a wrestling guy; he's a huge sports guy, and has actually done a lot of officiating.
Right.
Yeah, and he talks about bad officiating across the board in all sports a lot. How it's just going to get worse. He said because there's not a lot of people who are officiating that are getting into officiating at the lower levels and then working their way up.
Right.
And so it's you know, like it's I think it's becoming a bit of an epidemic in athletics. And we need to do something about that. Kind of.
Let me fast forward 20 years to a ECU football game, and is there a bad call? And let me do my Kyle from LaGrange. Let me see if I can do this. I was about to lose my mind. I can't do your actual voice, but I can hear you right now. That call was, you know.
Actually, you know, I don't get as mad at officials as you do. I almost expect bad officiating. And to me, 9 times out of 10, if you're good enough, you're going to overcome bad officiating.
I mean, my thing was with Wednesday night, it wouldn't change the outcome of the game. I don't normally, as a matter of fact, I agree with you there. They missed so many calls that if I got upset for every call they missed, I would definitely be in the hospital.
I remember when Ruffin was here, a lot of people complained about how much we used to get penalized, and then Scotty Montgomery football team for way less penalized. And the reason that was is because a lot of penalties are effort penalties. If you're holding, a lot of times it's because you're trying. If you're getting certain defensive penalties, it's their effort, intensity, playing hard.
Right, passion,
and,
right?
Yep, and that's why a lot of people always talk about, you know, especially the first year as well, Scotty Montgomery, we are disciplined. Yeah, we're disciplined. We ain't giving no damn effort. We're not playing with passion.
I agree with that. I remember Jerry Glanville years ago with the Falcons, and he would get all these, you know, penalties. I think what it comes down to, penalties are – I'm okay with penalties as long as it's not a stupid penalty like a like he had unsportsmanlike, and then it's 15 yards, and that's the difference that keeps the drive alive and they win the game. But most of the time penalties are not going to hurt you as far as the overall game. If it's a tight game, it may. But
oh, sure.
I agree with you that penalties are going to happen, and false starts and holding. I mean, you could call holding on every single play. So I don't have a problem with penalties. The key is that very thing. Sometimes it will cost you the game, but most of the time it won't. Yeah. And as far as that goes with Wednesday night, I was upset. I'll tell you this, and I'm going to move on to our guest. I felt like on Wednesday night, what I was upset with was the fact that you have East Carolina playing their butts off, man. It was such a great first half. And I think at the point when all this was going on, I think it was about a 12-point game. So think about all the times we've played in the past where the game's probably over in the first half. You don't even have to watch the game. We're going to lose by 20. How much we're going to lose by 20 or 30 tonight? Then you have a team that's playing their butts off. They're playing a really good game against the number six team in the country. Who is more talented? There's no question. It's not even the same. It's apples and oranges. We're not even arguing that. What I'm arguing about is, again, what you said, 2 points. Their officials making themselves bigger than the game, which never happened, which it did. The second thing is, when these guys are working their butts off, after all those technicals, it was game over. I mean, you take the wins out of the sails, and these guys practice hard every day. Dooley has got those guys, and the coaches are working really hard. They're competitive. They're diving for loose balls, as we said, which was cool at the very beginning of the season, something we were not used to seeing, the effort. Speaking of effort, the effort they were making. So that was my main point. Probably wouldn't – it would not change the outcome of the game, but when you have a competitive game, and then you turn it to where it's not competitive because of your actions, then I have a problem with that. So let's move on. Let's go now to Kelly Hines. Pirates have got a big game again today on the road against Tulsa, and three more games left of the season. Let's go to that interview right now. Very happy to have our next guest on. It seems like we were talking to her just yesterday. We have Kelly Hines from the Tulsa World. Kelly, thank you so much for coming back with us.
Oh, no problem.
With that wonderful schedule like you're talking about, we're playing you guys, playing Tulsa really close back-to-back, but I guess that's the way the schedule works out, right?
Yeah, scheduling in the American makes no sense really ever.
So refereeing doesn't make any sense either.
That's true.
I was going to ask you before we get started about the preview, if you don't mind. I saw where I was reading about where your coach that you follow, Frank Haith, where he got thrown out, and as well recently with Danny Hurley, right? Both coaches got thrown out?
Yeah, that was a pretty weird deal because, you know, I don't think Frank was the instigator there. And I really think that there was a miscommunication between two of the officials, because I don't think, like, the guy who called the second tech, I don't think he knew there had been a previous one called. So I don't think they intentionally threw those guys out. I think they were just trying to get them under control. And then inadvertently, you know, teed them up twice. But it was pretty weird.
We had a similar situation this past week against Houston, where East Carolina was called for four technical fouls in about a three-minute span, and our coach, Joe Dooley, was ejected.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, the officiating's been so bad this year, and I feel like the officials are trying to insert themselves into the game way too much.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I was reading, and I collectively read, trying to do some research before we did this preview a few days ago, because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't just too biased towards East Carolina. There's been, Kelly, five coaches thrown out of 12 in the league this year, and it just concerns me. Yeah, between you had the Cincinnati coach, name escapes me, Frank Haith, Danny Hurley, and we have also with
Dooley,
and there was one more. There's been five altogether, I think, out of 12. So that concerns me that five coaches, it's not like Dooley was the only one, or there might be two. It's right at half the league.
Yeah, and, I mean, for Frank Haith to get ejected, like, that's only happened one other time in his 15 years of being a head coach. Like, he's not, you know, typically the type to be doing that. I think Dan Hurley is probably going to be pretty common for him. But, you know, Joe Dooley, you know, I don't think that's going to be a common thing for him.
Dooley's first time ever being ejected.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of these coaches, it's not really, like, in their nature to do that. And, you know, the officials have just gotten a little crazy.
Dooley's reaction when he was ejected was priceless. Go back and watch the video. I don't know if you can kind of read his lips. It's fantastic.
It's a family podcast, so we're going to keep it friendly. But it's not something we can repeat to. I would definitely not be talking that way in front of my 5 or 6-year-old, for sure. But anyway, it is what it is. But we can move on now to – I just wanted to throw that in there because I thought that with the coach you follow and ours, I mean, it's just like – it seems like it's a little out of hand. And hopefully after the season's over, because it looks like there were no punishments for the officials at the game or any of the games, hopefully we'll they will do a review, and I hope that the commissioner will take a strong, and I'm sending that message even though he doesn't listen to the podcast, hopefully it'll get to him that they can do a strong review on officials and how to conduct themselves and not to let games or coaches or players get out of hand. So anyway, let's move on. Let's move on to good times where we can talk about a preview.
Hey, well, before we get into that, Dave, I wanted to ask Kelly. Kelly, have you heard anything down your way? Any details on the media deal?
I just keep hearing that it's going to be coming soon, and you know, I think that the league is happy with it, but I don't know really what the holdup is in announcing it. I thought it would be this past week, but maybe it's next week.
Did you see the very confusing article in the Commercial Appeal? Say again?
I had not seen it. I know that they had been reporting several things, but I didn't read the article.
The article was either released today or yesterday, and it is I don't know. You're a journalist, so maybe you can make heads or tails of it. But the article confused me to no end. There is a lot of speculation, and I think the writer taking things that the AD says and trying to run with them. But it really was quite. Bubba, did you read it? Could you make heads or tails of it?
I have not had the opportunity to read it yet. No.
Okay.
Well, hopefully we can get some clarification and know the deal. And I'm just hoping and praying that it's not like $6 million or something like that, and we're going to jump up and down. And hopefully it's not too small
well,
of a deal.
I hope $6 million would be tripling what we get now. But you keep hearing double digit rumors, so $6 million would be a huge improvement, but it would be disappointing.
Right.
What I got from the article in the Commercial Appeal, and I don't know if I'm reading it right, is that we're going to get a bump for the last year of our current media deal next year up to around $5 million per team. And then starting with the following year, 2020, it will be $8.5 million per team. So if that's what it is, that's pretty good. Not double digits, but not bad.
Yeah, that would be accurate. But, you know, I think double digit was more, you know, what everyone involved was hoping for.
Yeah, for sure.
And it would definitely separate us from, Kelly, it would definitely separate all the teams in American from the group of five if they do get the double digit.
Yeah, I think even $8 million would separate us from the rest of the group of five, really.
Yeah, there's not anybody close to the group of five. It's not even close to really what we're getting now.
Mountain West would be the next closest, and they're just a hair below what we're getting currently.
So how about what do you think about the game coming up, actually coming up today? We're going to be doing we're recording this on Saturday, but the game is on Sunday. So what do you think about the game for Tulsa and for East Carolina?
You know, for Tulsa, it's senior day. That's always an emotional time. And it's, you know, definitely going to be the last home game for these guys, because even if somehow, you know, Tulsa got into the NIT, which would require winning several more games, you know, they would be on the road. And, you know, especially with Tulsa being the host institution for the NCAA tournament here, it's a foregone conclusion that there will not be any more games after tomorrow or after today. So, you know, I think that, you know, first, especially Sterling Kaplan being a senior point guard, a guy who's been on the team for 4 years, you know, that's a, you know, pretty big moment for him. He's recently become a 1,000-point scorer. He ranks in top five now in assists. So, you know, I think for him, it's you know, you want to go out on a positive note. So he's had a lot of injury issues this season, not played really that well. But, you know, I expect for it to be, you know, an emotional day for him. And, you know, beyond that, Tulsa really hasn't played that well lately. Didn't play that well against Tulane the other night. So you just never know with this team who's going to show up.
Well, with ours, I know with Dooley, he actually is – it's funny because I was listening to one of our local radio stations, Pirate Radio. I love Cy Seymour. And he was talking about the recruiting. And then the voice, Jeff Charles, was talking on Pirate Radio a couple days ago about how hard all of our coaches are recruiting, and to the point of where one of the coaches, Steve Rocafort, who's pretty much the recruiting coordinator, he's upset that he's having to come back to the games because he wants to be on the road recruiting, and they told him it doesn't look good if you don't show up to the games.
So, yeah.
But that's how much he loves the recruiting and being on the road. But I think for Pirate fans, we're especially the three that are on the podcast here, that we're looking forward to down the road. And we realize it's a long rebuild, and it's going to take time. We've never had a winning culture here, so what do we have to lose?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, this season, just from Tulsa's perspective, it's like, you know, this has been a little bit of a disappointing year and, you know, not much optimism for how this year is going to turn out. And I think it's already looking to, you know, what's going to happen down the road. So I know the players are trying to, like, finish things up the right way. But, you know, I think fans are kind of like, you know what, this hasn't been a great year. Like, what's going to happen with Frank Kay's contract? You know, I think it's right. already turning into, okay, let's move on from this and what's next.
You know, with Kyle, he loves coaches, and I know he's like a coaching nerd. Do you remember last time, Kyle, we were talking about the contract and how much Frank was getting? Is it getting any – I know it hasn't been that long since we've talked, but is it – now that we're getting closer and closer where it looks like it's pretty much a done deal, they're not making the – you guys are – Tulsa's not making the tournament. Is that something where people are chirping even more for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Probably depends, you know, who you talk to, but I do think that, you know, it's becoming more of a storyline just because, you know, you don't have that postseason play to look forward to, and Tulsa certainly is not in a position to pay to, you know, play in one of the other tournaments. So, you know, with not that many games left, not a whole lot of optimism about, you know, going to Memphis for the last game of the regular season, going to Memphis for the conference tournament. You know, I think it's just naturally turning toward, okay, you know, is this going to be it for Frank Case? Is there going to be one more year? Is there going to be multiple years added to his contract? So, I mean, that's definitely the biggest storyline. That's what people are talking about around here. I do think that, you know, he'll be back next season, barring just something absolutely crazy happening. But I can't imagine the university being, you know, in a position to not add years to his contract. You don't want to, you know, send a coach into the last season of his contract. You can't recruit that way. You can't have any sort of expectations for that final season.
It's kind of like a lame duck.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just that's not going to work. So. But that puts everybody in a pretty weird situation because, you know, that means you almost have to extend him. And given how much he's making and the fact that the university doesn't really have that kind of money, but that also means they don't have the money to buy him out. So it's a pretty weird time.
Well, you said there's 1 year left on his contract after this year?
Yes.
And would you say the majority of your alumni fan base would like for him to stay or like for him to go?
Gosh, it's hard to say. I would say it's either 50-50 or, you know, 60-40 probably don't want him back.
He's gone. If he's got 1 year left and you got to buy that contract out, it's better to buy 1 year than extend it.
Yeah, it is, but, I mean, you're talking $2 million that you're in for with the money that they would have to repay him for his the money that he gave back to the university in exchange for his contract being extended. That's $300,000. He makes $1.6 million. And then you're going to have to pay somebody to come in and do the job after him. So, I mean, they just don't have that kind of money. They don't have any money. So I don't see that happening because there's just not the money and it's not been bad enough to really make a change. It's just been, you know, somewhat okay. So.
Right.
It's a weird situation. I don't think the university, like the administration, expected Frank to stay for 5-6 years. So when they, you know, had all of these incentives to stay, they weren't really thinking that was going to happen. And
wow.
So when it does happen, then you're in for it, and you know nobody's coming, you know, to hire him. So it's a pretty weird situation.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he. Well, I would assume that what's more like rolling the dice is now the gamble is if he does like the same like this year or worse next year,
right.
And you give the extension, then you're probably pretty much have to keep him until the contract runs out, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know that there's a good solution. I mean, really, like, I think that it's pretty complicated. And, you know, I do think that they're, you know, trying to bring in some guys like everybody else is, and then trying to, you know, do something to make a difference, you know, maybe not for next season, but the following. So, yeah, it's a weird deal. It's one of the weirdest things I've covered in my career.
If I was the athletic director, I would offer him an extension at a significantly less amount to outrank him and then make him leave on his own.
Yeah, I think that that's probably the best option at this point. I mean, and I think he would take less money. You know, he's made a lot of money in his career. He doesn't really need it. Like, what's the difference between 1.6 million and 1.2, you know, really? What is
I don't
that?
Know, but I'd like to find out.
I'll never know.
Hey, Bubba, did you have a question?
I was going to say, as far as tomorrow's matchup, so I know the last time these two met 2 weeks ago in Minchie's Coliseum, it was a tale of two halves, and Tulsa led by as many as 17, I believe it was, in the first half, and then I think led by 11 or 12 at halftime, and then the Pirates came storming back in the second half on the strength of Sean Williams, 8 threes in the ball game, and I know Jaden Garner had a nice game as well with like 17 and 16. Meanwhile, Tulsa had 6 guys in double figures. Going into tomorrow's matchup, you said the Golden Hurricane didn't play particularly well. You know, they beat Tulane, who was winless in the conference by 8 points the other night. How do you see this one unfolding tomorrow?
Yeah, I think that it could be another one of those games where, you know, Tulsa plays well in a half. It's difficult for them to put together, you know, a complete performance. You know, I do think that this team is a lot healthier than it was 2 weeks ago. And I think that, you know, certainly makes a difference. But, you know, that was the case the other night. And Tulsa, you know, got off to a horrible start, fell behind 19-3 against Tulane, which is not good. I mean, that's not a good thing against a not very good team. So, I don't know. I think that this could be one of those games where they can put it together. But I thought that really every game all season, and most of the time I'm wrong. So, it's really hard to predict how any game is going to go with this team.
Like you said, Kelly, in addition to that most recent game against Tulane, after the overtime win in Greenville 2 weeks ago, you had a 21-point loss at home to Wichita State, and then you lost by 10 or 11 at Temple.
Yeah, so that game against Wichita State was pretty much the worst Tulsa's played all season, and then the game at Temple, you know, Daquan Jeffries was out, and I think that made a pretty big difference. But, you know, that Wichita State game, I really didn't think that this team was capable of playing that poorly, especially at home and this late in the season. You know, they've been capable for sure of playing like that on the road. But to play like that at home, that was pretty stunning. And, you know, I just think that when a team gets hot, Tulsa just kind of withers away and doesn't really know how to come back from that. So, you know, a lot of that is the issues with their matchup zone. You know, they can let teams get hot from three-point range, and you know, that makes a pretty big difference, and then they struggle to kind of recover from that. So, you know, they went man the other day against Tulane after falling behind early, and that's not something that they typically do. So I think they know that, like, you know, there's some weaknesses that they have that, you know, at this point you probably don't want to have at this point in the season. But, you know, I thought it was a little bit encouraging that they were willing to change things up defensively, you know, in game. They just don't do a whole lot of that. They're kind of committed to their zone that, you know, they live and die by.
And after the Pirates, I believe you guys are on the road at Memphis, correct? So if you can get this one against ECU, then you're looking at a chance to get to 500, if I'm not mistaken, in league play. And what, 19-12 overall?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of optimism about that Memphis game. Tulsa historically has not played well at Memphis. I think only 2 wins since 1972, something ridiculous. I've covered 1 win there that was that came down to the buzzer, you know, and Tulsa wound up winning. But generally, Tulsa plays awful there. So, you know, I think that makes this game tomorrow, you know, pretty significant. You know, obviously Tulsa would have to pick up multiple wins, in the conference tournament. Probably have to get to the championship game to even be in the conversation for the NIT without, you know, winning at Memphis in the last year of the regular season. So, you know, if this game tomorrow doesn't go well, the postseason is not going to look very well for Tulsa.
You guys wouldn't take a CBI invite?
No, I mean, it goes back to not really having the money to pay for something like that, and also not being able to host any of those games because of the university's commitment to hosting the NCAA tournament first and second round. So to have to, you know, go on the road in the CBI at least two rounds, that's not really ideal. And, you know, even though Tulsa won the first CBI, it's been more than a decade now.
Now
that
you
was
have
cool
to,
then,
to pay
but
to
now
host in the CBI. Do you have to pay a fee if you're just playing on the road?
You don't have to if you're playing on the road, but you're committing to if it comes back, you know, if you make it to whatever round, whatever's determined by the bracket, if ideally they'd want to host some later rounds.
Okay.
Instead of playing on the road through all of it. So once they got past NCAA tournament week, you know, for the first and second rounds, then they would be on the hook to host and pay for those, and they don't want to do that.
Okay.
Well,
Kelly, to give you some optimism, maybe as far as that game at Memphis back in January, the Pirates led by something like 15 at Memphis before losing by, I think it was 4 points, So maybe not all hope is lost for that one.
I mean, that sounds like something Tulsa would do, like they did at Central Florida for pretty much the whole game, and then I think they lost by 2 or 4. So, yeah, I could see them being in the game. I just don't see them being able to actually pull off a win.
Well, it's going to be interesting, especially the tournament and at Memphis, and we'll see how everybody does, and hopefully we can have multiple. It looks like we maybe have 2 or 3 bids there to the dance. We'll see how it goes. But right now we are focusing on Tulsa and East Carolina. Kelly, thank you so much. I appreciate you spending extended time with us, and lots of stuff to cover right now. So we're doing basketball, baseball, football, media deals, a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's fun to be in the springtime. Thank you so much, and don't be a stranger.
Okay, sounds good. Talk to y'all soon.
We're back, and Kyle, I enjoyed her. She's awesome. In fact, I know you appreciate her because she's very candid about the program and about how they – I'm just interested about the future of Frank Heath and the future maybe of Tulsa football. I've heard her say many times it's almost like a drinking game, how much they don't have the money for it. Don't you feel that way when you hear her the last two times we've had her on?
They are a very small school. They're the smallest, yeah. I believe they're the smallest or second smallest in Division I FBS football.
That's correct.
So we haven't discussed, do they feel they can continue to fund football long term? Thing about Tulsa, they got to have some rich alumni out there. There's got to be some oil money. So
do you think?
Somebody may step up here soon. It'd be interesting to see. I have heard no talks about them dropping football.
No,
if that's what you, it sounded like that's what you were implying. I'm not. Maybe I read it wrong.
Well, but, I didn't. I mean, no. I think that could be an end game. I am not at that point. I was just saying that. When she says they don't have a lot of money, that's concerning to me. I wouldn't go. You know, I don't think they're going to drop football tomorrow. I'm just saying when she says they don't have a lot of money. That's kind of maybe that's a broad statement. You'd have to dissect that more. And you can, maybe that can make you go down that road. But that was concerning to me because I actually like having Tulsa in the conference. It's another, you know, you and I talked about, it's another big market, for an underappreciated, underrated league, in the American. There's so many, I mean, there was 400,000, there's a lot of people in Tulsa. People don't realize how big Tulsa is. Was it 300,000-400,000 or something like that? So,
I mean, you know, it's got to be a big town. They wrote a song about it.
Yeah, Tulsa time. We're living on Tulsa time today.
Living on Tulsa. And don't forget the day that she left Tulsa.
Oh, that's right.
It was so Chevy in a hurry, in a poor down hurry.
Kyle and I are music nerds, if you did not know, so I guess you know that now. And we love bringing in any way we can bring in music to the podcast. We definitely do. And hopefully we can sing about a win today where we can paint it purple. I really hope that it'd be nice for the Pirates to get a win in basketball today, another road win. We have a shot. I'm telling you, man, we have a shot to beat Tulsa today. We had them on they were one of the teams we had on the ropes, and we just, you know, we've got to find a way. I think that's the thing for me is Dooley's talking about, and that's part of winning the culture, Kyle. Getting that winning culture is how to win games, how to finish out, how to close games. That's where
we won
are.
Our last road game against Tulane, so that would give us a little confidence playing on the road against Tulsa today. Tulsa's not a bad team at all. They're trying to get to 500 in league play, I believe. So
yeah, 17-12 overall.
Yeah, so I mean they, you know, you beat us, beat Memphis. That's 19 wins. You go get a couple in the conference tournament. They could sneak in the NIT. So they got a lot to play for still.
We're 10 and, and by the way, this is the 28th game of the season for us. We're 10-17. Right now, and the thing and another thing I was going to tell you, and I could be dead wrong here, but we have a chance to win a game or two left in the three that we have left. We have today, we have Tulsa. We're fans, so we can look ahead. You have Tuesday night. You have at Wichita State. Who knows? They're a good program, but you might be able to catch them on an off night. They haven't had the year that the Wichita.
No, but they've been playing better basketball here recently.
Yeah, and then you have home against Senior Day for Isaac Fleming will be next Sunday, a week from today, by the way, folks, as you have him. I know Addison Hill, who just earned his scholarship under Dooley from South Central, local kid. Both of those guys are – I know those two guys. And there's the kid out of Washington, John Whitley. I can't remember his last name. Anyway, there's like three – Whitley, yeah. There's three seniors on the team that I know of. Offhand, but anyway, it'll be Senior Day next Sunday afternoon at 4:00 in Menjie's Coliseum Williams Arena. So those are the three games that are left. Then you go to Memphis starting on the 14th. The Pirates usually win at least one game in the tournament. So maybe there's a game or two they have there. But it'd be nice to have a game or two. I was going to leave with basketball with this. It'd be nice to have, as you say, you'd like to see the season to finish strong, and it'll be something that we can build towards for next season, right?
No, yeah, it would be great to win a couple regular season games here at the end of the year and then win one or two in the tournament, sure. I mean, this gives you some positive momentum, and we'll see how it plays out.
Maybe you go like something like 13 and maybe you go something like 13 and 18 or something like that. We'll see. But anyway, that would be nice, but right now, in fact, Sam Rath said we'd win 13 games, so I'll give him credit from the Scott and Holman podcast. So we'll see the magic. The good news is we did tie our win total from last year, so we're not going to do worse than last year. So we do have that going right now, so everything else will be gravy. But it'll be interesting to see what they can do recruiting-wise. They've got some great Rockford, as I was saying in the Kelly Hines interview, that guy is phenomenal. You look at, if you don't think I'm, by the way, I want to mention this too before we close things out. Rockford is the guy, if you don't think Rockford, you're like, why are you so big on Rockford? He's the guy that now, he left Virginia Tech, right? He wanted a fresh start. There were some issues there. And Dooley got him to come here. Well, look at Virginia Tech. They knocked off Duke over the week on Tuesday night. They're a top 25 program, and you know, Kyle, Virginia Tech basketball has never been anything. And here's a guy who helped build that program, that basketball program, because his recruiting has been tremendous. There's a lot of great recruits there. They've got Dooley's really working hard on the junior college route right now. And apparently, I heard hearing Jeff Charles on Pirate Radio Live, Florida has a lot of good junior colleges with basketball talent. Rockford has been working his butt off there. You have Dooley's been in a whole bunch of states over the last that he's got a lot of frequent flyer miles. So visiting a whole bunch of kids, they're trying really hard. And the good news, you and I have this sentiment, is how can you build a program if you say, well, Dave, you know, if you and I are coaches and you say, and no matter what the sport is, you say, we can't get that guy and we can't get that guy and we can't get that guy. And no, we definitely can't get that guy. Well, do you not believe in the program? I mean, why are you coaching if you previous administrations, I think, have had that philosophy, especially in basketball? Well, he's a local kid. We'll never get that guy. Well, Dooley and his staff have done a tremendous job with building relationships with those local coaches, and there's a ton of talent in Eastern North Carolina, as we're finding out, as they're in Connecticut, and they're Boston College, and there's a lot of big-name programs that basketball programs those guys have gone to. They could have and wanted to stay home in some cases, and we didn't give them the time of day because I think we didn't really think we had a shot at them. So kudos to the coaching staff for going after guys that most coaches will never think we have a chance with. But if you don't think we have a chance with, then you're already defeated. It's like asking a girl out. If you don't ask her out, you know what the results are. You're not going to have a date on Friday or Saturday night, right?
Correct, yeah. So miss every shot you don't take.
That's right. That's right. So hopefully we'll find out. We'll have our extra innings podcast we'll work on tonight, and we'll have that out for you certainly sometime tonight or tomorrow. Good luck to the Pirates today, and hopefully we can get a win against Western Carolina this afternoon. The final day of the Keefe Clear Classic, and Kyle, I think you're a weather guy. Weather looking okay for today?
Well, that's a good question. I am a weather, well, not literally a weather guy, but let's see.
I think you get the edge. I do love weather because of my job.
Weather. I love eventful weather. Anytime there's a hurricane or snow, any potential storm, I love it. It looks like we're going to be good for this afternoon. We'll get the game in 4 p.m. Looks like there's a chance of rain. Okay. So we should be good.
All right, so that sounds good. We'll keep an eye. And, again, folks, don't forget to do that. And, by the way, Kyle, before we go, I know you want to make sure that people get certainly they need to leave us a review. And a lot of people are – more people are liking the Facebook page, so you want to do that,
yeah,
right?
Like Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter at the Sports OBJ. Facebook, just search Sports Objective and like our Facebook page. On Apple Podcasts and wherever else you can leave reviews, give us a review, leave us 5 stars. Even if you think we suck, tell us we suck and give us 5 stars. It'd be great.
That's great. It helps us out for sure. Well, for Bubba Rosenbaum and Kyle from Grange, appreciate you guys so much for joining us. We'll see you tonight for extra innings. And in the meantime, you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.